Ephesians 4 and 1, and the word of the Lord says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and somebody say, in us all. And I want to talk to you tonight on this thought from really verse 2 and 3. United we stand, divided we fall. United we stand, divided we fall. Would you lift your voices to the Lord? Let us pray tonight that God would help us be doers of His Word. Would you do that? Would you lift your voices? Father, we thank You tonight for Your goodness. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your love, God, Your mercy. We thank You for Your Word, which is true and infallible, God. It's literal, God. We thank You tonight that You have called us out of darkness into Your marvelous light, Lord, that You would help us to be, God, open and receptive to Your Word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say amen. God bless you as you're seated. The Apostle Paul is the author of this book that we read our text of from this evening. And the purpose was to strengthen the Christians that were in Ephesus and to allow us to have understanding biblically of the nature and the purpose of the body of Christ. You would notice all of the Apostle Paul's letters, there's a balance between doctrine and duty, and if the book of Ephesians gives us a good example of that. You will notice in Ephesians, it's 6 chapters long, and we know that we have studied and read from it many times, but it starts out with doctrine in the first 3 chapters. The last 3 chapters explain about our duty and responsibilities in the church or as Christians. And we know that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Ephesians while he was in a Roman prison, and he had spent some time with the Ephesians. He had been there at least on 2 occasions. He spent a totality about 3 years there. And his first encounter was in Acts chapter 18, and then we see a second encounter in Acts chapter 19 and 20. In fact, specifically, he's meeting with the elders, and it was very an emotional time as they were saying their goodbyes. And so you understand that in Acts 19 and then in Acts 20, you can read this in relation to Acts, in relation to the book of Ephesians, to understand what Paul was dealing with and what he was wanting the Ephesians church to understand. And specifically in Ephesians 1:1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. And so with this, it is understood that the book of Ephesians, this letter, was meant to be circulated around to the churches that were in Ephesus. And so it's understood that this letter was sent with a man named Tychus. And Tychus, we read about him in Ephesians 6:21. But that ye also may know of my affairs and how I do, Tychus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. And so what we've read and what our opening text is talking about this evening is the power of unity. United we stand, divided we fall. We understand that God is one. We understand that in Him dwelleth all power, all strength, that we are living testimonies of what God has done, that we are the temples of the Holy Ghost, and God's Spirit lives in us and resides in us. And if you're here tonight and you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues before you leave tonight. But the Scripture is talking about oneness. There's oneness in body, oneness in spirit, and we are called in one hope of our calling. And we get to Colossians 3:15. And again, Paul is writing to the church, to the Christians in Colossus, and he tells them in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. He's telling us to, in one rendition, he's telling us to tune in with each other and be in step with one another and not going on to try to do your own thing spiritually. We as a church need to be united with the Lord, and we need to be united collectively as a body of believers. There's no religion, there's no army, there's no government, there's not a devil or a demon in hell that can stop a united church.
Come on, amen. Come on, amen.
Our disunity can slow down. Our disunity can allow us to become dysfunctional. Our disunity can discourage us or disrupt us from fulfilling what God has intended us to be and fulfilling our purpose. But you can be in the church, but not be part of the church. Right? You can be in a church service, but not get anything from the church service because you're disconnected. You can actually be involved in a ministry and not be ministering or being ministered to because of your being disconnected. And just because you're at church and just because you're filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name doesn't mean that you're spiritually connected to the body of believers.
Amen. Amen.
Once you've reached that state, you'll see things from a disconnected view. Once you're disconnected, you'll view things and hear things and you'll feel things from a disconnected view. Listen to Pastor. People generally see what they're looking for and generally hear what they're listening for. So when you're in a mindset of disunity, you're going to find disunity. But if you're in a mindset of unified and in a mindset of unity, and a mindset of togetherness, and a mindset of better together with the Lord and with my brother and sister, you're going to find unification. You're going to find that, you know what, we are more united. We may have some dysfunctions, but we are united. We serve a God that wants us to be brothers and sisters. The world does not see, when they look at the apostolic Pentecostals, they don't see organization. They see holiness. So that's why when you come into contact with somebody else that is Holy Ghost filled, baptized in Jesus' name, they're dressing and living modest. You know what? It is a requirement that we would greet them in Jesus' name and God bless them in Jesus' name, because we got to let our light shine. If we're walking around and saying, well, they're not as holy as we are, or they don't worship like we do, you know what? We're giving room for the devil to cause confusion and disunity in the body of Christ. Disunity is Satan's business. That's what he's all about. That's one of his main methods. Notice in 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. It's our adversary. Somebody say the devil. He's our adversary. It's his device. It's his intention. It's his method to drive a wedge between brothers and sisters in the church. That's his intention. It's his intention to inflame tempers. It is the devil's intention to cause confusion. Notice, God is not the author of confusion, but it is the enemy's intention to cause confusion. It is the enemy's intention to propagate a lie. It is the enemy's intention to feed in to gossip, to incite division. Ephesians 4:27 says, give no place to the devil. I like what it says in the Amplified Version. It says, don't give a foothold to the devil, or don't allow the devil to get his foot in. You ever make the statement, when you're going for an interview or you want, somebody's, information, like, well, just give me their phone number, their email, or, you know, just get them, if I could just get an interview, I get my foot in the door. Anybody ever said that, right? By faith, right? Well, that's the same. The devil's the same way. If he could just get his foot in the door, then he feels like I'm in. You, as a kid, you ever get locked out of, your brother or sister ever lock you out of the room? You're trying to push, and finally you just get your foot in there, right? You can't break my foot. Once you got your foot in it, it's game over. You're in there. It's the same thing with the devil. If he can get his foot in there and he can just inch a little bit, he's got you. United we stand, divided we fall. We don't got to give any room to the devil. Somebody say amen. John 8:44 says, you are the father, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father, yet ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in him the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's what he is. So we don't want to, if we know he's lying, if you're hearing stuff and you know it's a lie, don't feed into it. It's from the devil. If his mouth is moving, he's lying. John 10:10 says, a thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. The enemy wants to kill unity. He wants to steal victory. He wants to destroy testimonies. He wants to destroy effectiveness. I said all that because I got 2 points tonight. And the first point is, unity is powerful. If you're taking notes tonight, write this down. Unity is powerful. Jesus spoke of the power of unity. Specifically in John 17:11, he said that they may be one as we are. It's in Matthew where we measure the importance that God places on unity amongst the brethren. Powerful. We cover this many times once a year during stewardship week. But specifically, Matthew 5:23 says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Unity. Well, you don't know what they said or what they did, or they're just running their mouth. They're ignorant. They're on a power trip. The Bible says, leave your gift at the altar. Go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. United we stand. Divided we fall. Unity is one of the principal things that we read in the scripture of the apostolic church. The beginning of the apostolic church. In fact, I believe this enough that we cannot be call ourselves apostolic Pentecostals if we're not going to preach, teach, and practice unity.
That's good. Amen.
Acts 2:1 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Unity is not uniformity. Unity is unified effort. Uniformity wants everyone to look the same, act the same, talk the same. Uniformity is what we have with our hands and our fingers, right? You can do a lot of finger pointing, right? You can do, hey, thumbs up, right? That's a good thing. But all the fingers are different, right? Some are blessed to have all theirs. Some have a few that are missing. But if you, everybody put your, grab, look at your hand like this. Put your hand up in the air like this, right? You wiggle your fingers. You ever jam your finger playing basketball? Right? It hurts. Right? But if you get your fingers and you close them up, they're unified, you could do a lot of damage with this fist right here, right? Right? Don't punch your neighbor in church. Maybe outside of church, but you can do a lot of damage with this fist right here. But can you punch somebody with your finger as hard as you can if you get all your fingers to be unified together? And there's people that make a living, right? Good living, but because they got a collective effort and they're using their fist in a unified effort. Now, I'm not propagating using your fist to get unified with some people, but I'm using this as a principle and as a point that we have just the basic principle with what God has blessed us with as an example, that united we stand, divided we fall. And just because a group and this group of people that we read about in Acts chapter 2, they got together, and it was a critical time in the church. There was a whole group of people that had left, and these folks remained together because the scripture said in Luke 24:46-49, Jesus says, but tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Tarry means to remain, stay, or wait. So these people, why they were tarrying, why they remained in Jerusalem, why they obeyed what Jesus asked, they didn't complain, they didn't whine and quit and talk about, man, the good old days. But instead, they got together and they began to have a prayer meeting. Notice what happens. Acts 1:12, they return into Jerusalem from the mountain called Olivet. And verse 13 says, and when they came together, they went up into an upper room, and it mentions a whole bunch of names of the apostles. And in verse 14 says, then they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. It was unified. In their waiting for whatever was supposed to happen, they were unified. And we know the rest of the story. In Acts chapter 2, verse 2 through 4, one of the most awesome things that's ever taken place in the world took place because there was a group of people that did something unified while they were waiting. And we have the infilling and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it's the scripture says in Acts 2 and 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And to begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And we know there was approximately 120 in the upper room on that day. But it gets better. Somebody say it gets better. The Apostle Peter responds to the mockers, to the scoffers, to the naysayers, to those that had questions and saying, you know, we hear these men speaking in a language and aren't they Galileans? And the Apostle Peter stands up in Acts chapter 2 and 14. Notice this. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. So there was unity in the book of Acts, the start of the church, from the get-go. If we're going to be an apostolic Pentecostal church, we have to have unity. We have to have unity. And next week I'll talk about different parts and ways of having unity. But we have to have unity in the church and out of the church. We've got to be unified. But Peter stands up with the 11, and they stood up in unity, all supporting the Apostle Peter, lifted up his voice and said, Sister Lori, say, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be known unto you and hearken unto my words. And then we know that he preached Acts 2:38 message, repentance, the baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But there was unity because there was 11 that stood up with the Apostle Peter, but only one of them got to speak. They all walked with Jesus. For three and a half years, they all ate and sat together and heard all the stories and saw the miracles take place. I mean, who's to say that Bartholomew couldn't have done what the Apostle Peter did? Or James or John, right? But they stood in unity with the Apostle Peter, and he preached. And you don't hear them saying, well, you know, it's my turn now. You preach too long, right? Well, I got something to say. You know, fellowship meeting style back from the old days. Why? Testimony, sir. I got something to say. No, they stood in unity and said, you know what? We're in unified effort because what he is preaching is true. And what took place? God filled other folks with the Spirit. Their church grew and the church began to multiply. And we are here today because a group of men had unity at the early stages of the church. And we're here tonight and we got unity of worshipers. We got unity of prayer, of outreach, and a church. Because united we stand, divided we fall. We see in Acts 2 and 42, they continued steadfast. Verse 44 says, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Notice verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord. It's unity. And then the Lord added to the church in verse 47, daily as such would be saved. In the church, we tend to place a lot of emphasis, and Pastor Pinero has a tendency of doing that when I'm teaching, of a number of times a subject is mentioned in the Bible. And miracles appears 42 times, holiness 43, doctrine 51, Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit 96, repent 112, baptism 115, house of the Lord 234, praise 248, love 310, pray 313 times, but together 538 times. Someday we're going to all be caught up together. Unity. Tell your neighbor, better get used to it. I'll be in heaven with you. I might be your next door neighbor. You don't like me sitting in front of you or behind you at church? Get used to it. I'm going to be your next door neighbor. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 17 says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Unity. Unity. Now, not all unity is meant for good. I understand that. Some folks unite for evil. Some folks unite for destruction. Some folks unite to bully others. Some folks unite for sin. In fact, it's the scripture that gives us awareness of that in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. We understand that there's going to be folks that are trying to unite for things that are not godly and biblical and holy and righteous. Some folks unite with peer pressure. Some folks unite under a spirit of offense or bitterness. You notice the folks that are offended hang out together, and the folks that are bitter will hang out together. But all the blessed people seem to hang out together too. All the blessed people say amen.
Amen.
But we have scripture precedence of unity in a way that didn't please the Lord. Specifically in Genesis chapter 11, verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. This they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. But we read further on in the scriptures in Genesis 11 and 6. I read 11 and 6. 11 and 1 through 4. The whole earth was one language and one speech. Verse 4 says, and they said, go to, let us build us a city and make a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name. And here we have the Tower of Babel, which they were not doing it for purposes to glorify the Lord, but they were doing it for other purposes, and that was not right with the Lord. And we know that he caused confusion of language, and they were not able to complete the task. And so there's a good example of unity that is not pleasing to God. Think about this. Unity should never be used to propagate evil. Unity should never be used to propagate abuse, idolatry, or anything that goes against the Word of God or godly principles. Never, never. Romans 14 and 11 says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So we got to be mindful of what we're unified with and who we're unifying ourselves to be in connection with. Because united we stand, divided we fall. We cannot hold hands with the devil and hold on to carnality and flesh and then try to live for God on the weekends or on Sunday and Wednesdays. You can't do that. No cheating. No fooling around with your relationship with the Lord. We gotta make sure that we're united with the Lord and that we're united with one another. 2 Corinthians 13 and 11 says, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Second point tonight is unity takes work. If notice this, if a believer cannot get along with God, he's not going to be able to get along with his brothers and sisters. Because you can't walk in the flesh and walk in the spirit at the same time. It doesn't work. That's why sometimes you're at odds with your brother. It's because you're at odds with God. You're at odds with the pastor. You're at odds with the Sunday school leader. You're at odds with the youth leader. You're at odds with godly authority because you're at odds with God. Well, I'm just stubborn. Well, we know what the scripture says about stubborn and rebellious. It's witchcraft. Oh, pastor. Well, that's what the Bible... I'm just telling you what the Bible says. United we stand, divided we fall. Remember, we don't want to give any room for the devil to get in. But unity takes work. That's why Paul's telling us and the Ephesians in Ephesians 4 and 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If you notice, the Apostle Paul is describing some of the fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering, meekness, love. Because the fruit of the Spirit is a result of us walking in the Spirit. You can't have unity if you're not walking in the Spirit. If you're carnal, you're not going to be united. Sometimes you just have to pray through about yourself. Sometimes you got to pray through over somebody else. Come on, somebody. But forbearing, that means to hold oneself up. to bear or to endure, to suffer. So he says, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity in the spirit and the bond of peace. Bond is something that ties together. It's uniting. It occurs only four times in the scripture in that reference. That's why in Ecclesiastes 4:12, the scripture says, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. If I can be united with my brother and we can be united with the Lord, that's a threefold cord. That's going to be really hard for the devil to come against us. If we are spiritually, emotionally, mentally united before the Lord, there isn't anything or anybody that can stop us. But if I got a problem with him, I probably got a problem with the Lord. If I got a problem with my sister, it's something that we have to work at and say, you know what? We got to get through this because it's going to take some work. And I know there may be personality conflict. I know there may be leadership deficiencies. I know that there may be experience that is lacking, but guess what? We don't want to give any room for the devil. So I'm going to kick the devil out of the way. I'm going to cleave to you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God helps me because we're going to be united in the church. No one ever is going to be perfect here on earth. So we got to learn to love one another and help one another in spite of our faults. Somebody say, I have faults. Rather than dwelling on one another or looking at the faults and weaknesses and shortcomings, personality conflicts, past, that we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. The Amplified version of Ephesians 4:3 says, be eager and strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness of the Spirit in the binding power of peace. That word endeavor means to use speed, to be prompt, to be diligent. To make an effort. Endeavoring means to make a concerted effort towards or an earnest attempt to give diligence to or to work at. Unity must be worked at. Unity is not automatic. We have to be diligent towards unity. Now, those of you that follow any kind of sports at all, whatever the sport, team sport is, there's usually a star player on some team. But if there's a star player on that team, that star player does not make the team in itself. He or she may be able to do some things that are amazing and really well and score a lot of points and be, Dr. Walker, we would consider the clutch person, right? You want in the last 2 minutes of the game, you want them to have the ball. But they don't make the team. And a lot of times you see in that kind of a competition, where a lot of they'll triple team or double team that individual, and then that team is losing, and there's no way for them to have a winning season because the rest of the teams have seen the strategy and they put that into place. But then you take a team, maybe there's no stars, just your average Joes, and they play together and they work together and they don't care who gets the ball and who sits on the bench and how long they've been playing together. They just get better and better because they're all about winning. They're all about the good of the team. They're all about whatever they're wearing. They want to represent their team or their city, their company. They want to do it with the best ability that they can. It's the same thing with us. We're all different. We all got different backgrounds. Some have been in the church a long time. Others are brand new. Some are involved in different levels of ministry and involved in different ways. But guess what? We make up the body of Christ. Amen. There's no big eyes and little use in the house of God. There's only one pastor. There's one church. There's one God. We need to be one body together and say, you know what? Above all else, I'm a worshiper. I'll be a worshiper. The day I die, I'm going to be a good steward with my worshiper. It doesn't matter if I touch the mic, if I teach a class, if they put me on the church bulletin. I'm going to be a person in the church because united we stand, divided we fall. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. That you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. This is going to take work. It's easy to be united when the stock of the company is growing. It's easy to be united when The boss is paying the bill. Bonus checks are handed out and the team is winning. But when there's some tough times or some trials, people fall off. It's hard to sometimes be united. That's why the scripture says endeavoring. It's endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. There's a lot of fans that will follow a team when they're winning, right? They're called bandwagon fans. We don't need no bandwagon fans in the house of God. We don't need any fans in the house of God. We need worshipers and laborers together. Say, you know what? I'm all in. There's plenty of room for encouragement and edification. There's plenty of room for folks to fall. But there ought to be plenty of people that when they fall or when we fall or you fall, plenty of people are there surrounding you. Not to throw stones at you. Not to say, I told you so. But to grab you and to lift you up and to prop you up and to say, you know what? We got to get this man to the altar. We got to pray for him. We got to get them cleaned up because you know what? United we stand, divided we fall. When it's revival time and miracles are taking place and the choir's singing on Sunday night and the trial is over and your backslidden kid prayed through, it's easy to be united. You know where we need to see the greatest level of unification in the church? In the altar. The altar is a great place to be united. Come on, somebody. Just because somebody's crying, don't mean they're backslid or they've sinned. You ever cry because you're happy? You ever cry because you feel the joy of the Lord? You're just overwhelmed in God's presence? Unity. Unity. We bring somebody, visitor comes to church and there's visitor here tonight. You know what? I pray that when you come and pray at the altar, that there's people praying with you and beside you and that we make you feel welcome and appreciated in the church. Because you know what? We've all been somewhere for the first time. We know what it's like to walk in someplace and not know where to sit or what's going on. But you know what? You feel the glory of the Lord. You feel the blessings of God in the place. You feel the anointing. You say, you know what? It may be a different city. It may be a new church. But guess what? We're united because we serve a God that loves, that God that forgives, a God that wants to bless His people. And I want to be a part of United Church. The musicians would come tonight. We need one another. Tell your neighbor, I need you. That was lame. Tell your neighbor, I need you. We need encouragement. Doesn't it feel good when you encourage somebody? Somebody says something nice to you, right? And they mean it, right? They mean it. They're not just saying it because, well, pastor said I got to say something nice to somebody today. So, well, your hair looks good. You combed it finally. Well, yeah. Well, you got a nice smile. You put your teeth in today, right? No. Brother Drozic says, be kind, right? Be kind. United we stand, divided we fall, right? You don't know what people are facing, especially in the church house, right? What they're dealing with. Dr. Walker deals with people that are physically sick. But we're all around people that are spiritually sick all day. Emotionally sick, mentally sick. Right? Need help. We got to be united in the Spirit so we can discern some things. Right? You can say, you know, I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to put you on the prayer list. I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm not going to call the pastor to come and deal with this. I'm going to pray with you right here and now because I'm discerning something because I'm united in the Spirit with the Lord. So as we stand tonight, tell your neighbor, pray for me. Tell your neighbor, encourage me. Tell your neighbor, help me, don't hurt me. Here's a reason. All of us have things that we're not proud of, that we don't want people to know, and all of us have things that the devil knows bothers us. It's like a bruise. Go back and listen to Bishop Ronnie Mullings' message on the thief. He talks about the bruise, or a boxer knows that you kind of got a sweet spot, little spot there, and he just goes after that spot, and he'll hit you. Kind of like we know you're tickled in a spot, right? You kind of go after that spot and you're kind of like, oh. The devil's out to kill, to steal, and to destroy. We don't need to be killing anybody with our words or our looks or attitudes. We don't need to be stealing somebody's joy or victory or raining on their parade. And we don't need nobody to be destroying one another in this house. We got enough to deal with outside of there. What we need is to be united in prayer, in word, in worship, in holiness, in lifestyle, in doctrine. We need to be united and say everything I do, like I preach on Sunday night, it's to the glory and the honor of the Lord.
Amen.
So tonight as I open the altars, can we unite in prayer? Pray for yourself. Pray for one another. And let's see what the Lord would do this week for us. Would you come? Would you find a place to pray and talk to the Lord? Sister Ellen blesses us in song tonight. We could all use a little more prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. Come on, we want Him. We need Him to rain on us. With you, would you pray with them when you come? Come on, there's folks that need the Holy Ghost. There's folks that got decisions that they're making. There's folks that have unspoken requests. Tell them, would you go to the altar with me? Would you pray with me? Come on, there's folks that are battling mental illness, physical illness. The devil's been fighting.
Let it rain.
The flesh is battling. But the Spirit wants to be united tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Feel the rain of your
unity.
Love.
Unity.
Feel the winds of your Spirit.
Come on. Unity
now
in our homes.
Fight
with the Lord.
Unify
with the Spirit of God.